All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. We are picking up. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Tes 129. And we are picking up. Meretz Hashem 128b. We are picking up at Tan Rabbanan. Four lines up from the bottom. Tan Rabbanan. Hachotich Kizayis Basra Me Eber Menachai. If somebody cuts off a Kizayis of meat from Eber Menachai. So just to be clear on the case over here. I have Eber Menachai. I have a limb of a living animal. A limb of a living animal, and what happens? And I cut off a piece of meat from that limb. Basar from Avram and Achai. Ba'achar kach yishev alav. And then afterwards I have in mind, so after I cut it off, I have in mind that I'm going to give it to, I'm going to use it as a food item. Obviously not for me, Rashi says, to give it to an akum. So what's the halacha? Tar. Ultimately, again, the meat will be tar, will not convey tumah. Chishev alav, but if you had in mind to give it to the akum, and then you cut it off the limb, tameh. Ultimately, again, then the bas will be tameh. So we'll say the idea being that ultimately, again, if you have machshava prior to removing the meat from the limb, then the meat has the ability to convey tumah as a food item. Otherwise, it does not. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Asi lo alav midrasha. So one day Rabbi Asi did not go ahead. First of all, take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Tahar, Tahabasa Porish me Eber Menachai Tar. Abbas, we learned this yesterday's daf, that meat that ultimately is separated from Eber Menachai is Tahar. Hilchach Tumas Atzmo Inbo, Umishachishev Alav Lo Naga Batumashe Kablano. Avachishev Alav Arido Be'ever, the Torah's Ocha, Ba'achaka Chatos was said, therefore again, Halacha Lamaisa Basar that comes from Eber Menachai is not going to be Makabal Tumah. However, again, chishev alav, if you have in mind that you're going to give it to an akum, the meat from it, ultimately, again, therefore it's makabel tumas ochin because you're machshev it. Rabbi Asi lo ala be midrasha. Rabbi Asi one day didn't go to the base medrash. Ashkechei the Rabbi Zera. He found Rabbi Zera. Amarle my amar be midrasha. Tell me, what did you learn today in the base medrash? Right? So amarle my kashi lecha. So what says, listen to this. So ultimately, again, Rabbi Zera said to him, what's your problem? In other words, not what's your problem, but like, what is it that you want to know? Obviously, you're asking me because you want to know something. Tell me, what is your question? And I'm happy to help you. Amarle, diktani chishei ba'achaka chot chotame. Because we said before in the Mishnah that if you have in mind to go ahead and remove the piece of meat from the limb, and then you cut it off, it is tame. So ultimately, again, top of Kuf Chav Tes, first line 129a. But 1 second, Tumas Beis Hastarim Hi. Isn't that about say hidden Tumah? Now we'll say, now what does it mean, hidden Tumah? This piece of flesh is tame by virtue of the fact that it is connected to the Eiver Minachai. Right? That connection, so to speak, is something that is Beis Hastarim. In other words, it's the flesh that's connected. So we'll say, don't we say that Tumas Beis Hastarim Lo Metame? Suppose we've had this concept before about Tumas Beis Hastarim, that Tumah that derives from a connection that is not externally visible does not convey tumah. So therefore, again, why should this basar that comes from the Eber Menachai become tumah? Amarle, af ledidi kashili. The truth is, this was my same question. V'sha'ulta l'Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo, and I asked Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo, but amarle, and he explained to me, hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir. Do amar tumas beis hastarim metame. We'll say Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that when Tumah is derived from a connection which cannot be seen externally, Tumah is still conveyed. So apparently, again, there is a fundamental machlokus regarding Tumas Beis Hastarim, although the majority opinion is that there is no Tumah by Tumas Beis Hastarim, or Tumah is not conveyed through quote-unquote hidden connections. Rabbi Meir holds that it is. Amr Lei, Belav Zimnin Sagin Amra Kamoi. But did I not say over this halacha many times? Va amri le, shani le, the Rabbi Meir bein tuma de baya hechsher, u bein tuma de lo baya hechsher. And did we not say that Rabbi Meir made a distinction between the type of tuma that requires prior hechsher versus tuma that does not require hechsher? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Shani le, the Rabbi Meir bein tuma de baya hechsher, hahi de behema hamakasha, hochshara uber beshritas imo. So, for example, I will say in the case of Behema Hamakash, which is the pregnant animal, which ultimately is giving birth, so that in that case, the Ubar becomes Hoksha Lekabel Tumah through the Shechita of its mother. Va'adayin Ha'ever Tameh Mechubrabo V'Timo Va'aval mishnasinu ten habasar tzarech hechsher, v'kivan de tzarech hechsher, lo hochsher kodim chaticha, v'heich mekabel tumah mi'aviv. So ultimately, again, I will say, isn't even Rabbi Meir who holds that there is tumas beis hastarim, does he not make a distinction between tumah, which requires previous hechsher, versus tumah, which does not require previous hechsher? And in our case of the Mishnah of the Eivor HaMeduldol, or Basar HaMeduldol, did we not say that ultimately it requires additional hechsher? Amar Rava, so Rava says, Umay kash kushya, what's the problem? Dilma Bishahukshar, excuse me. Maybe ultimately we're dealing with a case where Einach Inami the limb was already hukshar, when it was already hukshar the Kabbal Tuma. So the Gemara says, Amar le Rabba bar Rav Chanan le Rabba, Lama li hechsher, Hamitame Tuma Hamura, Agav Aviv. I don't understand why I need any kind of hechsher over here. Isn't the limb Mekabel Tuma as a result ultimately of its connection to Aviv? Aviv in this case, of course, is the primary animal. Amar le, kisheshimesh ma'ase eitz shimesh. So we'll say this is actually very interesting. At the point that the limb is connected ultimately again to the rest of the animal, so then halacha lamaisa is what's called shimesh kishimesh eitz. Its connection is not a connection of food. Its connection is just a stam connection because it does not yet have the identity of food. Therefore, ultimately, again, it is not conveyed tuma by the primary animal. Look at Rashi also for just a moment. Actually, it's right across. Hari mitami tuma chamura agav aviv ba'odo mechuber be'ever. When the meat is still attached to the limb, hayav hatuma letame adam v'kelim. Remember again, Avram and Achai is mitame. So when the meat is still attached to the limb, it has the ability to be mitame. But currently, very bishmal elba perikin, mazram shein sofu letame tuma chamura tzarech hechsher, af kol shein sofu letame tuma chamura tzarech hechsher. So also remember, we had this principle before. Anything which is ultimately going to come to a heightened level of tumah does not require hechsher. Hechsher is only a din in something that will only ultimately retain a smaller level of tumah. But if you are going to come to possess a higher level of tumah, you do not require hechsher. The Gemara therefore is suggesting this meat ultimately is attached to the limb. The limb itself ultimately is an avatumah. So the fact that the meat is attached to the limb, why should the meat require any kind of previous hechsher? Rashi said, look at one more Rashi. Kisheshimish, oso shimush tumah chamura, lav betoras ochal. Shimsha, she'en ha'ever metame klum, al yidei oso basar ele betoras eitzer. So here's the issue. The issue is that when that basar is attached ultimately again to the limb, it does not have the identity of a food item. Rather, again, it just has the identity of eitz. Because of that, once the meat is separated and potentially takes on the identity of food, it would absolutely require its own hechsher. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Kofes Sa'ar, Shiyachta Li Yeshiva Batla, Kupasar, excuse me. Let's listen to this next case. It's good in Yon Idioma. If you take a block of Sa'ar, right, a block of sourdough or a block of yeast, and what happens? You go ahead, it's a block, it's a solid block. You go ahead and you decide that, you know what, you're going to use it as a chair, as a bench. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Batla. Now what does it mean? Look at Rashi. Shiyachta li yeshiva batla, mitoras chometz. So we'll say, if you go ahead, it's actually very interesting, if you go ahead and you take that block of sa'ar, and you designate it as a bench, then halacha lemaisa again, it is batla, no longer has the identity of chametz, which means what, Rabbi Osai? Which means what? That halacha lemaisa, you could keep it. Ve'enover avlam pesach mishum sa'ar lo yimatsi v'aseichem, ama, lav ochelum, v'nasis kli, umetame moshav hazav, shari ein omrim li amod v'nasem lachtenu, shari yachta lakach, omri di tumash arametame, also mishum moshav hazav. So also listen to this. So therefore, if you take a block of sa'ar, and you go ahead and you decide to designate it as a chair, then halacha lemaisa, it's no longer, that you could keep it over Pesach. Why? Because it no longer has the identity of chametz. So the Gemara says, tumasa lav doraisa. It must be that the tumah that it could contract is not doraisa. This adaitcha doraisa. Because if you want to say that it could contract tumah doraisa, matzinu lo ochlin shemetamin tumah chamura. Then I will say this will represent a case of ochlin, of food items, which have the ability to contract tuma chamura, a heightened level of tuma. Look at Rashi. The isar adayt chadoraisa imkin matzinu ochlin shesofin latami tuma chamura me'achar shiyardu l'toras ochlin. So we'll say, so remember again, it must be that this sar could not contract tuma chamura, because if it could contract tuma chamura, then ultimately what? You would find the case of ochlin, of food items, being able to contract the heightened level of tumah, to which the Gemara says, this is not a good example, and I'll tell you why. Kisheshimesh ma'ase eitz shimesh. Remember again, this block of sa'ar is not operating as a food item. Instead, this block of sa'ar is operating as what? Is operating as eitz, literally a block of wood. Amr Abai, Hare Amru, takrovis avodas kochavim shal ochlim metamin ba'ohel. So we'll say, if you have avodah zara, from food, right? So you worship the food. We saw like yesterday with the gourd, right? You worshipped food as avodah zara. So what happens? Metamin ba'ohel. Ultimately, again, it conveys tumas ohel. To which the Gemara says tumas alav da'oraisa. It must be that the tuma ultimately again is not da'oraisa. This sagadaitcha da'oraisa. Because if you're going to think that it's tuma da'oraisa, then matzinu la'ochlin shemetamin tumin chamura. Then Rabbi say you will find the case ultimately of what? Of food items which are able to contract tumah chamura. We were just saying before that cannot be. To which the Gemara says, kisheshimesh ma'aseit shimesh. Again, I will say, in these cases, although that which is involved is technically speaking food, it is not functioning in a food capacity. Because it's not functioning in a food capacity, you cannot go ahead and draw food tumah conclusions from these cases. Amr Abaye, Abaye said, Hari Amru, Chabure Ochlin Kekelim Damu. We'll say ultimately again, if you look at Rashi, Chabure Ochlin, it's in the third wide line. Chabure Ochlin, Rashi says, Shebekelim, Harihem Kekelim. If you have food that is attached ultimately to a utensil, then ultimately again, these food items are like the utensils. Meaning what? Vim Naga Tuma Ba'ochel Nitmahakli. We'll say to say that if you have a food item attached to a utensil, if the tummy item touches the food item, then what? Then the kli becomes tummy, and vice versa as well. Fine. So the Gemara says, Chaburi ochlin kekeilim damu, tumasal avdoraisa. So we'll say that this is not dealing with the case of tumah doraisa. Why not? This sagadaitcha doraisa, because if you think it's a doraisa, matzila la ochel shematame tumah chamura, then ultimately you will find the case of food, which is tame in a tumah chamura, to which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Kisha shimesh maase eitz shimesh. Ultimately, again, when it's functioning, I will say it's not functioning in the capacity of food, but rather, again, it's functioning, in this case, in the capacity of a kli. Amrali Rapapa the Rabba. So Rapapa said to Rabba, Hadisanya, Chelev Nevela Bikfarim, Tzarech Machsharvos. We had this case yesterday. Remember, again, this was the situation, ultimately, again, of Chelev Nevela in the Kfarim. So we'll say if you have the Chelev, we had chilev shchuta. So right, if you have chilev, which is the forbidden fat of an avail of an animal that dies in the kfarim, in the villages, tzarech machshava vehechshert. Tzarech machshava. So I'll say. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says. So the Gemara says it requires machshava. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Tzarech machshava. So first of all, chilev nevela to behema tahora ina matamik in nevela. So skip kfarim sheima sheama muatin the chilev lav barachiluhu afilu obikham elidayat chak. So let's remember again. This is what we were talking yesterday. That in the villages they often did not go ahead and eat chilev. Why not? Because since you had enough meat and a relatively small population, people did not need to eat chilev. Therefore, again, I will say, in order for the chilev to contract tumas ochlin, what would have to happen? There would have to be machshava. You would have to have intention that ultimately, again, it's going to be used as a food item. So the Gemara says, "Vehechsher tumaso agav kulya lav doraisa." And I will say, the idea being that ultimately it'd be hochshel tuma as a result of its connection to the kidney, right? As a result that's touching the kulya lav doraisa. Obviously, it's not a doraisa. Why not? This sagadaitcha doraisa. Because ultimately, again, if you're going to think that it's a tumah doraisa, matzinu la'ochel shematami tumah chamura, then what? Then you find a case of food items, which is tamei tumah chamura, to which the Gemara says, no, what's the case? Kisheshimesh ma'aseh eitz shimesh. Again, I will say, the common denominator in all of these cases is, even though these items are able to contract tumah, they're not contracting tumah betoras food item. but rather, again, they're functioning in some different type of capacity. Amar Rav Masna, Hari Amru, Bayis Shesichu Bizram. An interesting case. Let's say, Rabbi, say you went ahead and you used as a roof for your home seeds, edible seeds, right? Zraim, Rashi says. From Sachech Bizram, if you look at Rashi, Kigon, Shesichech Beso Bishibalim, Ubahen Zraim. You went ahead and you used as schach, as your roof for your home. You used stalks, and inside of these stalks ultimately are seeds. So what happens? So you went ahead and you use as a roof for your home these stalks. Inside of the stalks are seeds. So what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, Taro, ultimately again, says the Gemara. So tum also lav da'oraisa, it must be that what? That the tumah that it contracts is not a tumah da'oraisa. We'll say this tumah about tzaras habayis, where ultimately again, everything in the home contracts tzaras. So it must be that if this roof contracts tzaras, that ultimately the tumah is not da'oraisa. Why? Tisa da'itcha da'oraisa, because it will say, if you're going to tell me that the roof contracts tumah chamura, then it turns out that what? That food items have the ability to contract a heightened level of tumah. And I will say, we are working under the assumption that that is not correct. So therefore, to which the Gemara says, no, kishashimesh ma'ase echimesh. So I will say, so again, same answer. In this case, when the seeds are inside of the stalks on the roof and they contract tumah, that's because they're not functioning in what capacity? In a food capacity. Instead, they're functioning in a roof capacity. So once you're in a roof capacity, or an eitz capacity, a wood capacity, or a kli capacity, that gives you the ability to contract tumah chamura, even though as a food item, you would not contract that same level of tumah. Good. Rabbi Shimon Matar. So if you remember again, going back to the Mishnah, so the Mishnah said as follows. The way we think we read the Mishnah is like this. Ha'evr metam mishum evr menachai, that if you have an evr menachai, a limb from a living animal, that conveys tumah. Ve'enu metamim mishum evr nevela, but ultimately it does not convey tumas nevela. Divrei Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon metar, Rabbi Shimon says it's tar. So let's say what it sounds like is that Rabbi Shimon is saying that evr menachai does not convey tumah. Does not convey tumah. To which the Gemara says, manavshach, I don't understand. We'll say we've had this concept before. If we say death affects detachment, then I will say, now what does that mean? So when we say death affects detachment, what that ultimately means is we assume the process is like this. If you have a dangling limb, the moment before the animal dies, it's ki'ilu, it falls off. That's what it means, death affects attachment. Misa osa nipo, which means the moment before it dies, it falls off. If that's the case, marafshach, imisa osa nipo, so if you say that death, i.e. the moment before death affects detachment, then ultimately this limb should be what? Should be Evra Menachai. Remember, this is the dangling limb case, right? Then this limb should be Evra Menachai. If on the other hand you tell me that death does not affect detachment, then what? The animal's dead. If the animal's dead, then halacha lemaisa again, the limb should be matame tumas nevela. So, which you but to say that it's tahar doesn't make sense. Rabbi Shimon areishakai, to which the Gemara says Rabbi Shimon is focusing actually on the reisha, not on the seifa, and this is what he means. Ha'ever va'abasra hamedudalim, if you have a dangling limb or dangling flesh from an animal, bibehema, matame tumas ochlin, bimkoman utzvichin hechsher. Ultimately, again, they have the ability to be metame tumas ochlin, right? They have the ability to be metame tumas ochlin, but they require hechsher. Rabbi Shimon metar, Rabbi Shimon says, no, that is not the case. So also, I say, therefore, in this version of the Gemara, although Rabbi Shimon's opinion is quoted at the end of the Mishnah, he is not actually commenting on the end of the Mishnah. Instead, he's commenting on the beginning of the Mishnah. And what he's saying is, in the particular case of the Evra and Abasra Medoldolin, if you have a limb, or if you have meat, flesh, dangling from a living animal, it is metame tumas ochlin, ultimately again requires hechsher. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not metame tumas ochlin. Amar Kra, so why is that? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, my time to Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's logic? It's not metame tumas ochlin. Amar Kra, mikala ochel asher ye achel. From all the food that you will eat. What does that mean? Ochel sha'ata yochel la'achilo la'achiru kare ochel. Anything that you could feed to someone else is called food. So ochel sha'ata ochel yochel la'achiru, but food that you cannot feed to other people, then namely what? Amud Beis. Ein karoi ochel is not called food. The Bible say, this aver that is dangling from an animal, or the buster that is dangling from a living animal, cannot be fed to anyone else, right? Because it's still attached to a living animal. It can't be fed to a Jew, can't be fed ultimately to a non-Jew. Therefore what? Halacha lemaisa, Rabbi Shimon says, therefore it's not ochel. If it's not ochel, then what? Then what? It cannot be metame tumas ochlin. That's Rabbi Shimon Shita. So Amrli Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Asi. So Rabbi Zeira says, Rabbi Asi, Dilma, time of Rabbi Shimon Hassam, Hoil Umaara, Umaura, Muura. Maybe Rabbi Shimon's logic is something different. Maybe Rabbi Shimon's logic is, listen, if you're attached to a living entity, even by a dangling thread, nevertheless, what? You're attached. In other words, maybe you don't need a whole pasuk. Maybe this is just as simple as saying, if you're attached, you're attached, you're attached. So if you're attached, and it's a profound statement, right? So if you're attached to a living animal, then what? Then what? Then you're part of a living animal. What do you need a pasuk over here? To which the Gemara says, Desanya, because after all, did we not learn? Well, say, look at Rashi just a moment. V'dilma, time of the Reb Shimon, lama likra, what do you need a pasuk? Hoil mu'ur, Rashi says, second wife, lama ba'al lechayim, she'in tuma no ha'gis ba'am, kidam rinu l'gav yichar. So again, why do you have to get so complicated? Let's say, sometimes life is not complicated. So Rabbi Shimon says that ultimately the dangling limb is tart, it's not mekabel tumas ochlin, for one very simple reason. It's attached. And if it's attached to a living animal, then it's a living thing. This sanya, because we learned, yichar shelte ena shenifshach. We'll say, remember, we just learned this yesterday. If you have a branch of a fig tree, and the branch comes off, right? The branch detaches from the tree. But what happens? Umu'ura beklipa. But it's still attached by the bark. So the bark is still attached. What's the halach? Rabbi Huda metayer. Rabbi Huda ultimately says that what? He says that the branch, and more importantly, the figs on the branch are tahar. But say tahar means what? They're still attached to the tree. Remember, anything that is mechuber lekarka is not mekabel tuma. So Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that ultimately, again, because the branch is still attached to the tree by the bark, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, the figs are still considered to be mechuber, and therefore not makabel tuma. Rabbi Huda mitar v'cham say no. In yachal lach yostar v'im lav tomei. Chachamim say no. It's not enough to be attached by the bark. If the branch is receiving some type of nourishment from the tree, then it's considered to be part of the tree. If it's not receiving any nourishment from the tree, then halacha lemaisa, it's not part of the tree. Va'amrinu lachal. And we said, my time is Rabbi Huda. What's Rabbi Huda's logic? The Amrat Lan, Rabbi Huda's logic is very simple. Hoil umu'ura mu'ura. Rabbi Huda's Rosei logic is very simple. If it's attached, it's attached. Right? I don't care attached a lot. I don't care attached a little. If you're attached in any way, then you are considered to be attached. Therefore, this branch, halacha lemaisa, if it's attached by even by its bark to the primary tree, that's considered to be attached. Therefore, the figs are still considered to be mechuber lekarka, attached to the ground, and therefore they're not makabel tuma. So, Trebos, I can say the same thing over here. I can say the same thing over here that Rabbi Shimon holds, that when you have a limb that is attached to an animal, even if it's only dangling by a thread, if it's attached, it's attached, it's attached, and therefore it's not makabel tuma sochlin, because it's considered to be part of a living animal. So, Amar Lei, Emtsa Isa. No, could maybe Rabbi Shimon's statement is actually going on in the middle of the Mishnah. Nishchata behema, if the animal is shechted, hochshara bidameha. Ultimately, again, the animal becomes hochshar through the blood of the shechita. Div Rabbi Meir, these are the words of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon omer lo hochshuru. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it is not hochshar. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. My time, Rabbi Shimon, I'm going to say, why does Rabbi Shimon say that the blood of the shechita is not machshir the rest of the animal? Or I should say, the dangling limb. Omerkra, mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. Because the pasuk says, from all of the food that you will eat, ochel shata yochel achil lacherim kari ochel. Rabbi will say that which you can feed to other people is called food. Ochel shenata yochel achil lacherim ein kari ochel. But food that you cannot feed to other people is not called ochel. Therefore, Rabbi will say this dangling limb, which cannot be fed to a Jew or a non-Jew, Rabbi Shimon therefore says what is not called ochel. If it's not called ochel, then ultimately what? Then it cannot be hochsher through the blood of the shechita. But Dilma time Rabbi Shimon by he, maybe Rabbi Shimon holds differently, maybe he holds like Rava, or like Rabbi Yochanan Bo say, the Shitos that we espoused yesterday, Eloi Olam Aseha. Rather, Rabbi say, after exhausting all other possibilities, we go back to what we suggested in the beginning. Rabbi Shimon is actually going on the Seifa. Now, Rabbi say, remember again, what was the Seifa case? So the seifa was Eiver Metamei Mishum Eiver Menachai. If you have, right, if you have the dangling limb, right, then ultimately again it becomes Eiver Menachai. It conveys tuma. Ve'enu Metamei Mishum Eiver Nevela. But ultimately, again, it does not convey tuma als Eiver Nevela. That's what we made. Rabbi Shimon's Metar. So what does Rabbi say? Rabbi Shimon Metar. V'lava Eiver Ella Abaser Mesa. Ella Abaser. So the Gemara says, rather, Rabbi Shimon is not actually arguing, or he's not actually discussing the Eiver. Rather, he's talking about detached flesh. He says like this, Mesa HaBehema, if the animal dies, HaBasar Tzarech Hechsher. Ultimately, again, the detached flesh requires Hechsher. Rabbi Shimon Metar. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it does. It's ultimately, again, it's tar. The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon. What's Rabbi Shimon's logic? Amar Krami Kala Ochel Asher Yachel. Ultimately, the pasuk says from any food that you will eat, ochel shata yochel lachil lachirim karoi ochel. Items that you could feed to someone else are called food. Shiata yochel lachil lachirim in karoi ochel. But anything that you cannot feed to someone else, ultimately, again, is not called food. Therefore, I will say, after exhausting our possibilities, if Rabbi Shimon is referring to the Reisha, then to the middle case, we come back and we say that he's actually referring to the Seifa, but not per se to the Eiver, instead, ultimately, to the Basar. Good. Mishnah. Ha'iver v'habasa midudolin ba'adam, tohorim. Let's listen to this case. What happens if you have a dangling limb or dangling flesh from a person? We'll say, ultimately, again, these items are tahar. They are tahar. Right? Take a look at Rashi. Ba'mududolin ba'adam tohorim. D'chiyamos k'sir. We'll say, now this makes sense, because at the end of the day, ultimately, a person only conveys tumah when he's dead. When he's dead. So therefore, again, the dangling limb or the dangling flesh does not convey tumah. Meisa adam, if a person dies, Habasar tar, we'll say that ultimately we're going to discuss what this means. The dangling flesh, right, is going to be tar. But a'ever metame mishum ever minachai. But ultimately, again, the ever, the dangling limb, has the ability to metame ultimately because of ever minachai. Ve'eno metame mishum ever minames. But does not go ahead and convey tuma als ever minames from a limb from a deceased person. The Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Shimon metar. But ultimately, again, Rebbe Shimon says that you're tar. Fine, so let's analyze this. Rabbi Shimon, Manav Shach, so we'll say, what's Rabbi Shimon's Shita over here? So understand what we just came out with over here. That Halacha Lamaisa, if you have, in the case number one, is the dangling limb or dangling flesh. What's the status of dangling limb, dangling flesh? Tar. We'll say, presumably because it's attached to a person, as long as the person is alive, ultimately, again, nothing conveys tuma. Then we'll say, next case, if the person dies, what do you do about the dangling flesh and the dangling limb? The flesh apparently is tar, right? The limb is metame eiver min achai, but not eiver min ames, right? So again, we'll discuss what that means. That's Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon says, ultimately, again, you are tar. Or you are tar. So the Gemara says as follows. Rabbi Shimon, manafshach. So we'll say, I don't understand. How could Rabbi Shimon say you're tar? We'll say, same discussion as we just had before. We'll say, if you say death affects detachment, which again means what? That phrase is a little bit misleading, because what that means is that essentially in the moment before death, we look at the limb as if it is detached. Then what? Then that limb effectively fell off the person while he was still alive, and therefore it's Evermin Achai. But if you say that death does not affect detachment, then what? That means the limb became detached from the person after he died. If it came detached after he died, then what? Then it's tumas meis. But either way, there's gotta be some tumas, right? Someone's becoming tame today, right? There's gotta be tumas somewhere. So how could Rabbi Shimon say that it's totally tar? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ba'amakai. In reality, Rabbi Shimon is talking in general. The Ka'amar Tanakamo, ha'eiver metame mishum eiver min achai, ve'in metame mishum eiver min ames. So we'll say, ultimately, again, Rabbi Shimon is commenting generally on the position of the Tanakama. You see, the Tanakama said that the Eiver has the ability to become Tomei Mishum Eiver Min Achai, and not Mishum Eiver Min Ames. Oh, I'm sorry, I just lost the place. Right, Tanakama says, Ha'Eiver Mitam Mishum Eiver Min Achai, Ve'im Mitam Mishum Eiver Min Ames. Alma, Eiver Hames, Ba'alma Mitame. So we'll say, so listen to this. In general, what we say, now this is actually very interesting. Remember, they're talking about a very specific case of a dangling limb, right? So therefore, what's happening over here? So Rabbi Shimon is talking to the Tanakama, right? So ultimately, again, the Tanakama is telling me that a dangling limb has the ability to become Tomei Alts Eiver Min Achai, but not Eiver Min Ames. Ama Aver Bahames Ba'ama Mitame. I will say, so in a general case, right, an Aver that comes from a corpse does have the ability to go ahead and convey corpse tuma. Vamadir Rabbi Shimon, Aver Hames Ba'ama Lo Mitame. And I will say, apparently Rabbi Shimon is arguing on the general principle that the Aver of a corpse conveys tuma. Now watch this. The Sanya, Am Rabbi Eliezer, Shamati She'ivra Minachai Mitame. So Rabbi Eliezer said, I heard that the limb of a living thing ultimately conveys tuma. So the Gemara says, Shamati She'ivra Minachai Mitame. Am Rabbi Yeshua, Minachai V'lo Minames. So Rabbi Yeshua says, does that mean that it's only an Eiver from a living person, right, that conveys tuma, but Eiver Minames does not convey tuma? Or is that, does that make sense for Kalvachomer? We'll say, let's ask, there's a Kalvach Omra on that. Umachai Shehutar. We'll say, when a person is alive, remember, a living person is tar. Tar, meaning not that he can't contract tumah, but again, meaning there's no tumas meis, obviously. So a person is alive, he's tar. Eivar aporish mimenu tamei. Ultimately, if a limb is detached from him, we'll say, that limb has tumah. That's true when a person is alive. Meis shehutamei. Lokol shekin, but say ultimately again, if a person dies, when the entire body becomes tamei, shouldn't it be a kal v'chomer that what? That a limb which is detached from him becomes tamei or conveys tamei. We'll say it's a simple kal v'chomer. If I'm alive, I'm not tamei. But if there's a limb detached from me, that limb does have tumah. When a person is dead, and therefore his entire body is tamei, certainly a limb which is detached from him becomes tamei as well. To which the Gemara says, "Lokol shekein." So we'll say that's very interesting. Kasub Megillas Tainus. So we'll say this appears to be a tangent, but you're going to see it's not a tangent. Kasub Megillas Tainus. You know, we learned in Megillas Tainus, Pischa Ziira Delo Lemispud. We'll say that you're not allowed to fast on Pesach Sheni. It's called the small Pesach. You're not allowed to fast on Pesach. Remember, Pesach Sheni is the makeup Pesach on the 15th of Iyar. You're not allowed to fast on Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara says, "Oh, Ha Rabba Lemispud." So, does that mean you can fast? Now, Megillas Tainus never makes any mention of not fasting on regular Pesach, or on primary Pesach. So does that mean, so the Megillah Tainus only says that you can't fast on Pesach Sheni. It must be that what? Is that to say that you can fast on Pesach? To which the Gemara says, no. Ela kol dechein. Rather, Rav will say it's a kol shekein. Obviously, what Megillas Tainus is saying is you can't fast on Pesach Sheni, and what? All the more so, you cannot fast on primary Pesach as well. Hachanami kol dechein. So Rabbi Yosei over here is saying the same exact thing, all the more so. Certainly if the limb from a living person has the ability to convey tuma, then what? Certainly the limb from a dead person has the ability to convey tuma. Amar leikach shamati. So he said, this is indeed what I heard. Umayika bein Abram and Achai le'Abram and Ames. So Rabbi Yosei, this is actually very interesting. So what exactly is the distinction between Abram and Achai and Abram and Ames? In other words, both are going to convey tuma. Both are going to convey tuma. So what's the categorical distinction between Abram and Achai and Abram and Ames? I'll tell you. Kizayis basar ve'etzem kisaora. Right? So Rabbi Yosei, Haparish min Achai ika bin Ames. So listen to this. Here's the distinction, right? Kizayis basar ve'etzem kisaora aparish me'ivram minachai aparish me'ivram minachai ikabenai. Listen to this. This is not. Here are the distinctions. Kizayis basar haporish me'ivram minachai. We'll say if you have a kizayis of flesh, which is becomes detached from ivram minachai. So we'll say that the limb which came detached from a living entity. Now there's a kizayis of basar that comes from that. Rabbi Eliezer mitame. Rabbi Eliezer says we'll say that a kizayis basar that detaches from ivram minachai will convey tuma. Rabbi Nechunya ben Akon, Rabbi Yeshua mitaren, and Rabbi Nechunya ben Akon, Rabbi Yeshua say that it's tar. Etzem kisaora porish me'ivram minachai. We'll say what happens if you have a bone fragment the size of a barley kernel that becomes detached ultimately again from ivram minachai. Rabbi Nechunya mitame. Rabbi Nechunya says it's tame. Rabbi Eliezer Yeshua mitaren, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Eliezer Rabbi Yeshua both say that ultimately what it is tahar. To which the Gemara says hashta. Now ultimately again, now that you went ahead and you came to this distinction, so therefore again, once you made this distinction, then halacha l'maisa, one can make the argument that even in the Mishnah, this in fact would be the distinction between Rabbi Shimon and the Tanakama, namely again, the distinction between kizayis basar and etzem kisaora, the distinctions between Avram and Achai, and ultimately again Avram and Amei. So we'll say ultimately Rabbi Shimon agreeing that halacha lemaisa, that limb which is detached from the corpse, ultimately again will go ahead and convey tuma, but rather what he's arguing on is the nature of that tuma. Ultimately, Rabbi Meir telling us that halacha lemaisa, that detached limb from a person, will have the status, the tuma of Avram and Achai, and Rabbi Huda coming along and Rabbi Shimon saying, when he says metar doesn't mean totally tar. Metar means tar of that type of tuma, Avram and Achai tuma, but ultimately, again, subject to general tumas nevel, or tumas meis. Hadron alach, ha'ar varot. Let me share with you a short idea on the parasha.